Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Roasting the World. Why? Because the world needs roasting. I'm your host, the one and only, the person that Batman thinks is a superhero, the king of comedy, Dakota.
And I am Cherry Clip, the other co-host. Very short and simple and all that fun stuff. So.
Hey, I kept it short this week with it. I could have mumbled on, whatever.
I know. I'm so used to you doing such a long entrance that I completely am not used to that.
You know why I do that, right? Like, when our first episode we ever did, right before you told me, you're like, hey, we got to kill 2 minutes, so do like a 2-minute intro. And ever since then, that's what I've been trying to do.
It's great. Well, to everyone out there, happy cuddle up day, just so you know. I thought that was interesting. It's so cold out here in the Northeast, so I don't know about you guys, but it's pretty cool up here.
It's not that bad here tonight. It's actually, I mean, it's a little chilly outside, but I didn't even need a jacket on or anything.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're lucky. We were, like, bundled today. I think it was below 32 at least, a little bit.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, our weather, it goes from, like, rainy nonstop for a couple weeks to semi-cold, it being not cold, to it being freezing, to raining again. So, I don't know. Our weather's bipolar.
Yeah. Bipolar weather. I love it. Well, we are over here on the east side, pretty much. And we have our guest tonight is from the west. So,
hello.
Live with us, Robert Conroy, comedian Robert Conroy. Nice of you to join us tonight.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and I'm actually the villain of comedy. I'm so not funny, even the Joker doesn't laugh.
Oh, no.
I watched that movie
Dakota.
On the plane.
On the plane, wow.
So you a big, like, comic book fan, or?
You know what, honestly, like, I'm not really, like, I should, because, like, I got into, like, the Marvel and the DC stuff, like, through the movies, and I'm like, oh, like, but it was at a time, because, like, I've had this kind of, like, awakening stage in my life, and so, like, I used to think all that stuff just was, like, really dumb, and then as, like, I kind of started transforming and seeing the world in a different way, I started really liking the movies, and seeing, like, why they're so popular among certain people, why the comics are, so I actually, I'm not a comic book person, but I could definitely see myself hitting a comic book store soon just to check it out.
Right.
You gotta let us know what you think if you do that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
So, let's let everybody know. Like, let us know a little bit about you, man. Like, how did you get started in comedy, and what made you want to get into comedy?
I mean, honestly, that's, like, a real complicated question that I should only speak to my therapist about, because, like, when I was a little kid, you know, I was bullied, right? And then I was, like, really shy and scared of people. I was, like, super quiet. In seventh grade, I went to this school, and people, like, the kids came up and be like, hey, what, you know, it's a new school. They're like, what's your name? And I was like, Rob. You know, I was, like, really quiet. Like, what, Bob? And then one kid's like, I think he said Boob. And then they called me Boob forever. So that was my nickname throughout, like, high school and stuff. But I realized, though, that, like, it actually became, like, an obsession, like an addiction. I was like, I have to make this person laugh or they won't like me. So, like, my whole life was, like, centered around that. And then, like, when I was 16, I started hitting this comedy club called Giggles in Seattle, Washington, which it ended up going under, and then the owner turned it into a strip club and just changed the name to Jiggles. So that's kind of what got me into comedy. And then I sort of, I don't know, I just, like, life hit, and I actually didn't really go down to LA and start really doing, like, the comedy scene until 2016. And I'm 34, so I lived a real life, guys. Like, I sold insurance, you know. I was like working with the man. And then I'm like, no, dude, I want to do comedy. So I went down to LA, yeah, when I was like 30, maybe right around there 4 years ago. And that's when I started doing it. 'Cause I was like, you know, this is my passion. You know, what I really wanted to do since I was like 12.
Wow.
I feel you there, dude. 'Cause, that's something I always was passionate about growing up, with being a comic and everything like that too. And like growing up, I watched a lot of like Saturday Night Live and shit like that and stuff. But anyways, like who's some of your like favorite comics or comics you look up to?
I mean, definitely like Bill Burr. I love his rant. Like it's pretty much everyone who's been canceled lately. Who's who else has been canceled? No, I like Andrew Santino. I really like, if you're familiar with him. He was on Red-Haired Comic Dude. He was on that show just recently on FX with, it doesn't matter, I forget. Who's that little Dicky? That little Dicky show on FX?
Oh, yeah.
He played his best friend.
Okay.
Yeah, Andrew Santino. And then, you know, Norm Macdonald.
Yeah.
You know, list can go on. It's funny in LA, like, this actually, I shouldn't even say this in case LA comics are listening, but like, I actually like really like Chris D'Elia. I find him funny, but like, for some reason, like there's like the whole, like at least the open mic scene, like has this like really like, they don't like the guy for some reason.
Yeah. Well, out that way, it's more like that cancel culture on everything. So
yeah,
I could see.
Well, this is before cancel, like before the whole like Chris D'Elia incident.
Oh, this is before
like,
the shit happened with him.
Yeah, yeah, like you're just like open, like a lot of the open mic scene, because like that's pretty much where I'm at. Like I was telling Sherry when we had a conversation earlier, like I'm basically a nobody. I got like I don't know like if the listeners know like how IMDb works or what IMDb is, but essentially it's like a resume, like an online resume that an actor has with their information on it, you know, what they've been in. And so I have like 5 or 6 IMDb credits, but they're all under, like, they're not even consolidated because I won't pay like $19.99 or whatever it is to have my IMDb page consolidate all my information. So like that's the kind of nobody that I am. You know, like in 2019, I was in like a cool independent film that I got paid for, so that was nice. I won a comedy competition called The Spin Show, where you like land on a topic and then rant about it. So that, you know, I mean, I was having like minor successes, but I'm pretty much a no name.
Oh.
Hey, join the club, man. Shit, I get called Jack Black or Chris Farley all the time. So I'm pretty much David Allen Coe of comedy, dude. So.
Well, we got to get something for Robert now. That's it. He needs another name. He needs a name.
Well, it's Rainbow Now Mistake. I told you about that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right.
We could talk about that for a second.
Yeah, okay, so,
dude, this is all gonna connect. Like, it's gonna because like the reason Sherry actually found me, I was ranting on live Facebook Live about because I was getting death threats. I made a video on Facebook that we can talk about it in a little bit, and if like there anyone wants to chime in and like I'll tell you why I was wrong and why it wasn't a big deal. I can tell you like I thought about it a lot, but I was getting death threats over a video that I made on Facebook. It somehow got shared, either the video got shared to TikTok or my Instagram and Facebook information did. And then next thing you know, I'm getting death threats from about, it wasn't too many, like 15 to 20 different people that I've never met or heard of before. But so Rainbow Now Mistake, my Instagram is Rob Conroy Classic. And I was just, you know, COVID made me kind of go crazy and get bored. So I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change my name on Instagram to Rainbow Now Mistake, and I'm going to become a guru. And so then I was like, like literally my friends thought I lost my mind. Like I became like, I was like talking about how like you need to smoke DMT so you can reach the 12th dimension and talk to your spirit guides and like how I'm just like this enlightened soul and I'm here to save and uplift the world, this light worker to ends the planet into the higher dimensions. And if you don't believe me, you're a demonic entity. And like, just, I was just being really stupid, and like probably 70% of my followers got it. And then like some of my friends like called other friends, are like, dude, I think Rob's lost his mind. Like he's, something's wrong with him. But, so I made this video. I changed it all back. It's Rob Conroy Classic again on my Instagram. But I made this video on Facebook, and this is how dumb some people are. They were like, wait a minute, you're, because they thought the video was racist, and we'll like go over that, and I'll tell you why I see their point, but also what I was trying to do. So they go, the guy goes on my Instagram and he's like, you're just some racist fuck, but you're also a yogi? Who the fuck, what the fuck are you? Like, it's like, dude, like, you guys don't understand pantomime and clowning around, like, you know, exaggeration and sarcasm.
Oh, man. Sounds like you trolled
people. I'm literally talking about, like, I'm pretty sure in one of the videos I said, like it's a good idea to do meth and DMT at the same time, to, like, talk to the devil and God at the same time or something. Like obviously, it was just some crazy shit. And they think I'm actually, how are you missing this, people? Like, this is why you're destroying the Capitol building. This is why you think reptiles run the world. You motherfucking...
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. So, racist incident. I say racist with quotation marks, even though I know you guys can't see me here. But this racist incident, like, can you get into detail of what happened with all that? Because Sherry told me a little
bit about
it. Okay,
so here's the story of what happened. And I was hoping that this would, like, not fly over anyone's head. But I went on this snorkeling trip, super awesome trip, amazing, get back, and my phone is dead. And I'm in the middle of Puerto Vallarta, I'm miles away from where I'm staying at, and I have no, like, phone to call an Uber or, like, to MapQuest how to get to where I'm at, because I didn't know my address at the time, because it was, like, my first or second day there. And so I go to this business, like, everybody's always trying to sell you tours, so there's, like, millions of tour businesses down in Puerto Vallarta, like, So they're usually just run by one person. Like, every block that they'll try to sell you a tour. By the way, if you ever go there, you can negotiate. They'll be like, the tour's 1,500 pesos. You could talk them down probably to like 500. So like they're always trying to upsell you. But anyway, so this guy, like, I go to his building and I say, hey man, could you help me out? My phone's dead. I just need a charger real quick so I can get the address, so I can get, you know, a taxi. He's like, sure. So he runs in the back. He grabs his phone charger. It doesn't fit. So he actually goes out of his way to call his friend, see if his friend has the right charger, walks me 15 minutes to his friend, and then I charge my phone, right? So I was, like, in disbelief. I'm like, that was a very, very kind thing to do. So, but the video I made, I decided to see, and so here's where I figured I went wrong, and I mentioned this to Sherry when we spoke earlier. I'm an upper class, like, white person, and, you know, and so, like, I'm an entitled, privileged white guy, upper class, middle class, like, that's who I am. Now, but I was pantomiming, like, a disgusting, like, type, and in this, like, really sarcastic, fucked up way, where, so the video was essentially, like, I really tried to force a sarcasm, and, like, you know what's funny is, usually when I'm serious, people are like, are you being sarcastic? So it's kind of annoying, like, if my own serious voice makes people think I'm sarcastic, then I don't know why you can't understand my sarcastic voice. But the video is essentially, I tell this story. I'm like, yeah, check it out, guys. So I'm in Mexico, right? My phone's dead. I go up to this guy's business, okay? And listen, I'm an American. I'm a businessman. And I ask him for a phone charger. And his doesn't work, so he calls his friend. And he leaves his business for 15 minutes. And I'm an American businessman. Okay, first of all, you don't leave your business for 15 minutes to help somebody not to make money. That's stupid. And then second of all, he walks in 15 minutes to his friend, who doesn't even charge me to use the charger. Stupid again. And then I was like, so if you're an American businessman like me and you want to take advantage of some people's kindness, come on down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, people. And that was essentially the video.
Oh. But you were making a joke. you weren't being
right.
serious.
I don't. Honestly, I don't see. Like, I can tell the sarcasm in it, but I mean, that might just because I'm a comic myself, so you know.
Right.
So, like, I can
tell
that was sarcastic.
Where...
I don't see how that was racist.
Exactly. I see. Now, that's I don't think anybody should have seen where it's racist. So, that was and this is where I actually wanted to get into, like, a serious discussion, folks, about how we have a problem with racism. We have had a problem with racism since eons, you know, since humanity. And, like, okay, so first of all, like I said, I guess because I'm an entitled, privileged white guy, like, I guess I could see how that could fly over some moron's head. And then next thing you know, they're calling me, like, they're like, fuck you, you racist piece of shit. I know where you are because I see in your video, and, like, Puerto Vallarta is small, and I work with the cartel, and we're going to send the cartel to fuck you up. And, like, more, like, you know, just all these death threats and hate, just pure hate, racist piece of shit. You're, like, you're fucking, like, you. I hope you die. I hope you kill yourself. One person called me white trash, okay? So let's just slow down here. You just called me white trash because you're calling me racist, but you just called me white trash. So, like, what I was also speaking on earlier is the whole idea of you spot it, you got it. Or like Sherry said, when you're pointing a finger, there's three pointing back at you. Okay, if we really want to fix racism, we need to recognize that I am racist. Yes, I am. You're racist, Sherry. You are Dakota. Everyone listening is racist. Everybody is racist. It's just our minds are wired into the only way to operate in a three-dimensional reality is to be able to discriminate. Okay, our minds are wired to discriminate differences in things. Otherwise, we would just be like we wouldn't know the difference between like a pillow and a rock. We need to know, so our minds do that, and then we tie stereotypes in, which can sometimes be reinforced, but we just need to recognize this in ourselves. So, like, if you recognize that, instead of calling everybody else racist or, like, pointing out this or that, then if you spot it, you got it. And so what I always try to recognize in myself when somebody's pissing me off even if it's something not racist, some other thing, like, I'm like, wait, do I do that? You know, like, I don't like being lied to. And then I'm thinking, like, well, right. I'm kind of a liar sometimes. So maybe, you know what I mean? Like, so the things that, and then the whole, it's just sort of that whole idea of, like, be the change you want to be. If you really want to fix, most of it's virtue signaling, which is they're just trying to, like, they try to seem, they want their ego boosted. But if they really want change, I mean, and I need to follow this direction, too, because if I really want change, I need to recognize in myself what I don't like about the world and then work on it. And then it actually does, like, kind of law of attraction type of stuff, whether you believe it or not, like cause and effect, you know, it does, by changing yourself, you do it butterfly effect everything else. I mean, it might be a real, real slow process. It might be something that, but like if people really, and it seems like we're not doing that at all. It seems like we're doing the complete fucking opposite. But there I go, you know, calling people out, right? It's literally being a hypocrite.
I mean, you're not wrong with all that. I mean, that's true. Everybody has a bit of racism in them, even though they don't realize it. And I do agree with that. Like, I grew up in Yuma, Arizona, which is a little border town of Mexico. And I was one of maybe five white kids in my class and shit like that. So I've seen it both ways with it all. And, like, I do agree with that. Like, everybody does have a bit of racism in them. And I disagree with the people saying that comment and all that, or the video that you put out is racist, because, I mean, that's just stupid. From what you tell me, I could tell it was sarcasm from the way you said things and stuff like that. And anybody that thinks that's racist is just fucking retarded. So, I mean, I'm
down. Yeah. In a way, like, I'm trying to, like, make it be like, all my friends are like, dude, that's so awesome. You have haters now. You have haters. I'm like, where are my lovers at? Where are my fans at? Because, like, I got this. Yeah, but it was causing fights on, like, the video itself actually was causing, like, people, like, a thread, and people were, like, fighting and calling each other dipshit and fucked hard. It was pretty cool. So, like, that was, yeah, that's,
hey,
a, that's
Sherry,
the most
we needed
thing
him
I've
a shirt
ever been
on our site for a, we needed him a t-shirt on our site, Sherry, most hated comic or something.
There we go. There's a new name, the most hated comic.
Yeah, the most hated comic. Yeah, that's awesome. One of my favorite rappers, actually. That's what he goes by, the most hated rapper.
Uh-oh.
But I was actually, it was making me, like, because it actually scared me a little bit and made me question, do I really want to pursue this dream of mine? Because, like, if I can't handle these, like, 15, because I was getting, like, it was upsetting me. I wanted, like, I mean, there's people, like, there's some people, like, we had, like, actual, like, good discussions, and then I sort of won them over, or some people were like, fuck you, you're still a piece of shit, whatever. But, like, the last death threat I got was maybe, like, 6 or 7 days ago, and, like, they won on this one. I actually threw my phone. Like, I'm like, they got me, you know what I mean? Like, so I'm like, if I can't handle that, can I really handle, you know, if I really pursue this dream and it actually manifests, like, you know, cause like it's going to be a lot more hate than that. But I mean, people telling you that you need to die or like giving you death threats, like I seriously, like, cause my mom, was there when I threw my phone. Actually, she was like, you know, you should, you can't let this, they won. They just got to you. I'm like, I would rather be told that I'm a bad, like, hey, you should quit comedy. You're not funny. Like that's something I would rather, because like the video itself had there's no like intention. Like the point was actually to like express how in like a back, kind of a back talk backwards sort of way, how nice these Mexican people were.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh,
right.
Okay. So here's where this all kind of ties into a funny way. So this guy on my Rainbow Now Mistake account, he was like, which is gone, by the way, so nobody look it up. But he's like, I said to him, I said, if I'm such a piece of shit, how come all the locals here have been just blessing me and like loving on me and like, you know, like, cause like, you know, it's just been, how come it's been such a good experience? And he's like, because they haven't seen your real face like I have. And I'm like, oh yeah, you mean Rainbow Namaste, my social media character? You fucking asshole.
Wow.
To me, it just sounds like you trolled a bunch of people and they just didn't get it.
Yeah. But it was an accidental troll. Like, if it was intentional,
like,
I
think if you would have, like, intentionally did it, it would have been, like, 10 times worse. You know what I mean? Like, you would have, like, hundreds of haters or some shit, it sounds like.
That's something. Oh, that would have been, but see, if I would have intentionally done it, I would have been a different time, but you know, that'd be a different type of person, somebody that wants that hate, you know what I mean? But a friend of mine, actually, we had this good laugh about it. He's like, they don't hate you, he's like, they hate the character you're playing, so you need to like recognize, like, you're like an actor, you're playing a character, they don't hate Rob Connor. I mean, they might think they do, but like, that was obviously not you. It was a character. And so then we started thinking about like Harry Potter. Like, what if people go, like the guy who played Draco Malfoy, they like go around and they find him in Hollywood. They're like, fuck you, Draco. And they like beat his ass. Like, yeah, how could you do that to Harry?
Oh, shit. Wow. Given no meaning to the word drop the mic, you dropped the phone. You know.
Yeah, which, by the way, I hope everyone can hear me, because I know you guys had COVID, so I'm wearing a mask. Because who knows how it's – we don't know anything about this disease. It could spread over the phone. It's a 5G towers, you guys. What?
So that's why we sound muffled slightly.
Yeah, that's good, because I was carrying my mask. I was like, should I put it on when I say that? I got like I wrote down like 4 things that I gotta, like, I'm gonna say this. It's like I'm doing like a set at MacArthur Park.
I heard there was a lot of
bums
hanging around in that part.
Yeah, we actually do. So, and what's your friend's name again?
Terrence.
Okay, hold on 1 second. That's
yes.
Terrence on the line. Terrence, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, welcome to the show tonight.
Hi, thank you.
How have you liked it so far, Terrence?
It's been good. I was laughing. And for the record, people actually do hate the actor that plays Draco Malfoy.
Oh,
they really
no.
do.
Oh, man.
Yeah. But I got a sort of related story in the terms of, people, hating one way or the other.
Okay.
I was with my friends, and we were moving into this neighborhood in Florida. You know, they have us on this golf cart, and it's a full Puerto Rican neighborhood. And everyone's waving at us while we're on the golf cart, you know, because they know we're a prospect neighbor, you know. And, we end up moving into this place. And it turns out that the previous tenant had gotten shot with his own gun. And this neighborhood was completely crazy. And there was, like, SWAT teams blocking the exit, like, every other week. And it was my friends and I, you know, myself as a black man, an Asian kid who's, like, my other friend, and then a white guy, a white girl, and then an Asian dog. All in, like, this crazy, jam-packed, one-bedroom apartment. So, you know, it was kind of wild. But we got lucky because, like, the main guy of the whole neighborhood, it's a big neighborhood, but, like, the main guy ended up being our downstairs neighbor. So, you know, he kind of, like, he really helped us out a lot. But it was a crazy time.
And you guys probably didn't have a gun to get killed with.
Yeah, no, I mean, we definitely wouldn't allow it to just be sitting on the counter. That's kind of crazy, you know. But I mean,
sorry to interrupt, Terrence. Yeah, but that's actually why I wanted him to call in too, though, because like, kind of how it ended up was, because he asked Terrence called me today, and he's like, "Did you make any friends in Mexico?" And I did. I actually made some. Like the Airbnb guy was really cool, like a really cool guy. He ended up like driving me to the airport. He's like, "Don't take taxi, I'll drive you." And stuff. So there were some good people, but like 8 or 9 Mexicans that I met told me never trust a Mexican. That's what they told me. They're like, don't even trust me. Like never trust a Mexican. So that's kind of what I brought that up to Terrence. I was like, so it's kind of how, you know, I didn't really make too much of friends because I didn't really trust anybody. And like the first or second day, because you said you saw those pictures of me hanging on the beach with those guys, I brought them to the Airbnb and we hung out on it has like beautiful rooftop where you could see the rainforest. And he on the camera, he's like, "Don't ever bring people in here ever. You'd never trust a Mexican." And like that was like the first time I heard it. And then throughout the 30 days, I heard it like 8 more times. Never trust from the mouths of Mexicans. So like, I mean, that's kind of like we're all like I'm literally like talking about like don't be racist and stuff. I mean, you check yourself. Like everybody, you know, it's a personal thing. Like I don't think. You should never trust any Mexican, obviously, but it's just like, even there, they were like, then down there, they're saying like, be careful, man. Like we're out to get you. Be careful.
I think it also depends on where you live, the people you're around in that area. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter what race they are. It's the type of people. It's the environment.
Yeah.
It's where they are. They can't, it's not really like a racist comment, maybe. It was more of like maybe the area and the people that were in that area.
You know, I was thinking that same thing because, you know, he's a Mexican could be from the nation or whatever. My friend, he'd always say, you know, everyone who smiles at you isn't your friend. And he said that quite often just because. So I get that totally.
Right. Because I used to be an officer and I have met people from all different nationalities. And I've arrested people of all different nationalities. You know, it's not just one race. It's not just...
Defund the police!
But in certain areas, you would find there was more crime and more people who lived in one certain area that, you know, created more crime and more domestic violences and you name it. So, you know, I think it depends a lot on the area, too.
Definitely. It's too bad the show is so like only a half hour because like we always talk about. I lived in South Central LA for a year, so you always talk about that. But I thought too when it's funny like you know cause it's always hard Well, I was going to make a joke. I was like, obviously I'm not racist. Terrence is black and he's my friend. But like people, they always like, you know, there is that thing. Like my mom was telling me some story about her friend. She's like, you know, they always started out like, I'm not racist. And then she's like, I'm not racist, but why do they get all the benefits? So like we got a problem. Like we really do, but we gotta check ourselves. Like it's all about inner work, man, not outer work.
Right.
Right, yeah.
No, actually, I need to show an hour tonight, just so you know. So we have 20 minutes.
Oh, I was just about to say, I thought we had an hour.
Oh, okay,
sorry,
cool.
I didn't have time to
tell
you.
Yeah, man, feel free to tell us about South Central.
Oh, shit, okay. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's got, so I felt I could walk around there and, I mean, I would get like, it's sort of like kind of what Terrence was talking about, like not everyone who smiles at you is your friend. So it's hard to explain, like, but I would walk around just fine. And most like pretty much like the black community down there was like very nice to me. And it wasn't in like some sneaky, like we're trying to, I mean, some of it was, but like most for, you know, some old, you know, older black dude sitting on his porch. He, like, I remember one time I was walking by, he's like, hey, white boy. And like, yeah, he's like, what are you trying to gentrify the neighborhood? And I was like, no, I'm trying to turn black. And, you know, we like had a good laugh and like, it was a good, like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, there's a lot of just good people down there. And then I would actually ask about like the Black Lives Matter movement down there, and they're like, we don't care. Like, they're like, we don't care about that. We just want to get out of here. I mean, that's another thing. I don't know. Is Terrence still on the line?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm definitely still.
What are your thoughts on that? Is that just like some virtue? Because like, I was talking. I'm a mother's boy, so I was talking to my mom about it today. And, like, she's, like, because, like, at first, you know, I was always just, like, it's just virtue signaling. It's just, like, privileged white girls with Rachel Maddow haircuts that they want to, like, put in their Beverly Hills lawn and pretend like they support black people. Why don't they come down to South Central with me and, like, actually hang out down here? But then she said, like, it actually, like, opened up her eyes that, like, yeah, all lives do matter. But right now, like, there is – an issue going on. I mean, racism is a real issue. So I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the movement itself and how you feel about it. And then
I'm 31 now, right? So I'm not that old, but I have experience. I grew up in like an all white town. So I mean, I really get how bad it can be. And I get how, like, not bad it can be. But when I was 18, I ended up opening up my own computer store in Michigan, Grand Rapids. And I ended up living with some Africans. And they kind of, like taught me a lot about history in America and South Africa during the apartheid. When I went back to my hometown and I sort of, like, I felt like some things like that were going on were kind of like racist or out of pocket or however you'd explain it. And a lot of my friends thought that I was pretty radical at that point. And I don't, maybe in some aspects I might've been, but I honestly don't think so. And then when Black Lives Matter propped up, I was actually a chief technical officer at a company down in Florida. And those same people, like, now we're like vehemently anti-racism, but I mean, a lot of these people had said some pretty deplorable things, like, you know, obviously in high school, middle school, post high school, and like done some pretty crazy things. And now a lot of those people have shifted sides. I've been in arguments with people all over the internet who they don't realize that I'm black, and they say some pretty racist stuff, like, why don't you actually go talk to a black person, things like this, based on my profile picture. And I'm just like, well, I don't know what this is really about. So for me, I've never supported Black Lives Matter as a movement, just because it's something that doesn't sit right with me about it. So I don't particularly
I abstain from it, I guess.
That's really interesting.
I like
actually.
Yeah. I always see. That's what I think. I want to get like. That's what, so. My biggest problem, like, I mean, well, we're talking about race, so it's what we're talking about. But my biggest issue is like, it just seems to be like a white person thing, like a rich, like I was in visiting my sister for Thanksgiving, and she lives in a very upper class, you know, upper middle class white neighborhood, and like Black Lives Matter is everywhere. But it's just like, I mean, that's just putting a sign in your yard isn't really helping with the issue. And then also, it's so complicated because like, I remember like in 2016, a black dude, I was walking around MacArthur Park actually, where stand-up comedy is now. That's where the only place you can do it in LA. But this black dude comes up to me and he's like just right in my face like Black Lives Matter, and then like he was just joking, he was just fucking around with me, and I was like, nah, dude, no lives matter. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. but I was like, oh yeah, so then but like okay, so here's so then there's like this whole all lives matter thing, which is that is true. But that what sucks is like I'll be making like what's scary is like I will be making like jokes like this or saying these things that are like controversial and my intentions are good. I remember one time it was a gender thing that joke that I was making. And like, I don't care. Like, cause personally, I don't give a shit, like be whatever gender, whatever. But I said something that was like clearly a joke, but it was online. And then like these actual, like really homophobic, transphobic people like were like all of a sudden on the thread, and they're like, yeah, fuck it. And then they're also like women hater people, and it was just like I was like, oh shit, okay. So like you do, I don't know, man, like it is a tough, like touchy thing, because I was like, no, I didn't mean it to turn into that. That's not what I didn't want these like homophobic, you know, like haters to like hop on board. So Maybe I am doing something completely wrong.
I mean, there's a
I
lot of trolls.
I think it's the way people are right now. You know, it's just the way, look at what everyone's being forced to believe constantly, you know, and what's being put into our minds at this time, this day and age. You know, it's people don't know how to think outside the box, like I was telling you before. You know, they're...
Yeah.
I don't even know if they know how to think for themselves half the time. You know, and
if you look at what happened on the news today, I would say that they don't.
That is crazy what's going on down there right now. That is crazy.
But it does prove that liberal or conservative, you know, we were talking about this to Dakota earlier, like liberal or conservative, like most of us are just brainwashed idiots. Like it doesn't matter what side you're on, you're a brainwashed idiot.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yes.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead.
So, what do you say? I mean, what do you really want to tell the people who watch you and listen to the things you say, or other comedians out there who might make a racist remark by accident today?
Oh well, just be. I mean, honestly, just I was watching. This isn't even from me. It's from the show Ozark. But the old man, and it was like, he's like, stop trying to people please everybody. You can't please everybody. You act and then they react. So just like be yourself, I would say. And just like I got banned from a woke mic. I call them woke mics. They're like mics where like everyone goes there and like all they would do is just like, you're only allowed to make fun of Trump or white cisgendered males or whatever. Well, guess who steps on stage? You know, white. Oh, by the way, and all the people there are you know, most of them were like I said, there's like Rachel Maddow haircut girls, like everybody, like these white privileged, like virtue signaling girls. And so I step on stage, and it's just an open mic at a pizza place, and there's two patrons there. And then the rest are just my, like, you know, open micers, people that came to do comedy. And the two patrons happen to be black people, black couple. And I'm up there telling this. I had this joke. I don't know if it's that good or not. They seem to like it, but I was talking about how I live in South Central. I'm like, yeah, I can tell this is a woke mic, and like I live in South Central LA, and I'm so like, this is how not racist I am, you guys. Like, I cross the street to black people, but like I live in South Central, so like I'm going back and forth, zigzagging across the street. I almost got hit by a car like 4 times yesterday because I'm always trying to cross the street to black people, and like they liked it. The patrons, I don't remember what else I said, but like whatever I said, like really, like the girl was like, she was like in tears. She was like, you can never come back here. I'm just so triggered. I can't believe, like, you are never welcome back here. And then the patrons, the two black people, actually came up and, like, gave me dabs and, like, gave me a hug. And they're like, dude, keep doing what you're doing, dog.
Yeah, definitely it's a lot of that. But, I mean, it's always been a lot of that in history. Not to, like, I guess, you know, put myself in a box. But they always talked about how the young females are generally the ones who actually like take up the current administration or regime's most, I guess, egregious like acts, and then they follow the rules, you know, and they don't give anyone impunity. So it's like it's kind of weird to see it again in our lifetimes because it seems kind of archaic, but that's just the way it is.
Like, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. You know, it's that sort of thing.
Wasn't Venus, Venus was the morning star, which is Lucifer, so careful, women. I'm on to you.
I feel like that shouldn't be a jab at women. I didn't make this up, you know. This is,
yeah.
It's research, yeah, it's research material, so it's like, it's just the way it is.
But so yeah, there's something I was gonna say. Oh yeah, because well, you're talking about so this whole like defund the police thing. I feel like all these people that want to defund the police need to go down to Mexico and deal with some motherfucking policia, and then tell me you want to come and defund the police. I have a sordid past. Okay, I've dealt with the police a lot, and they do like. I'm not black, though, so I can't, like, speak on that, but I guess we can get Terrence's thoughts on that as well. But I've had some dealings with the police where I'm like, all right, fuck these motherfuckers. Like, they're not cool. And then I've also been, like, you know, when I hitchhiked from L.A. to Seattle, one of my road dogs, as you call them, you know, the guys hanging out with you, was a black dude, and, like, he got accosted by this policeman, and then I had to, like, come in and, like, talk to the policeman. So, like, there's clearly like a racism there, but this whole like defund the police department. And like, I'm up in Seattle right now where they're such a liberal town. They allowed the city, like the super woke liberal type people. And I know this, like, it makes me sound like really more conservative, but don't get me wrong. Like, conservatives can be freaking retarded. Like, it's both sides, but this is just one. I don't like both sides, okay? So, but anyways, as these liberals, like crybaby people, take over, and they just like the governor just lets them, and the mayor just let them like take over a whole area, a park, a public area that's supposed to be for everybody. They get to just take it over now because they're mad, and they want to like defund the police department, and I'm like, and the police. There needs to be some changes, but like going to fucking Mexico where I got robbed by the police down there. Like, they literally took like about $200 worth of pesos from me. So that's like, that's kind of what made me, according to this guy, I'm officially a local now because I got robbed by police.
Screw the Mexican police. They took my pot one time. I'm still a little pissed off about that. I was like 16. I was over there and he took my weed, man. They didn't let me cross back with it. Kind of ticked me off a little bit.
Dude, you're lucky. I mean, they didn't make you pay him any pesos or anything?
No, man, they just took my weed. It was like, I was over there.
Oh, you're
my,
lucky, dude.
Well, see, what originally was, I was over there for my birthday with some of my friends who brother owned houses over there, and we're over there partying, and for some reason at like 3 o'clock in the morning, we all decided to go to a taco stand, and on the way back, we get pulled over, and literally all they did was take my weed and tell us, hey, happy birthday, have fun, and that was it. pretty sure they might even took some of my beers.
Oh, dude, don't even. You're lucky, dude.
I think they might even took a couple of beers with them. So, but this was back in like 03.
Yeah, okay, okay. So. You paid him. It was like about midnight, and I was walking on the beach. Oh, and let me just share my like this. I am like upper middle class entitled. Like we have my. It's not just my family. Like we share it. Like it's like it was inherited from my grandparents. So like my dad, my aunt, my uncle, blah blah. We all share a beach house, but you know we'll just drink on the deck and then like take a pee on the beach, right? So and so I'm like walking home about midnight. There's nobody around. It's dead. And like also I don't know if there's any public restrooms open at the time, but you have to pay 10 pesos to use the bathroom. So I didn't want to do that. And there's no one around. So like I'll just take a quick pee on the beach. And then within an instant, like, I'm surrounded by, like, five policia. And they're like, do you got any drugs on you, this, that? They search me. And I'm like, you know, I've dealt with American cops plenty of times, so it's probably the same thing. It's not going to be a big deal. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have done it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you're good. They send me on my way. I get home, and I'm missing about, you know, $200 worth of pesos.
Shit.
So,
that's all.
Like... Yeah, and I'm pretty sure they're all, like, employed by the cartel, like, the whole cartel. Oh, and then those death threats where people were telling me they know the cartel and they can tell from my videos where I live, like the cartel doesn't give a shit if you're racist at all. Like, they only fuck with you if you, like, fuck with their money. Like, they don't care if I'm racist. Like, if I can come down there and be as racist as I want. If I'm doing their cocaine, they're gonna be just fine. And if I'm not selling any weed there... you know what I mean? Like, they don't give a fuck. They're not going to come cut my ears off because I said Mexicans are nice in a sarcastic way.
Nah.
Right.
No, I don't think anyone does. In terms of the police, man, I've had so many police encounters. I've been pulled over like 100 times. I've really never had a bad experience while pulled over. In fact, I've probably gotten away with a couple things in terms of, like, speeding. I've never gotten a speeding ticket. So, I mean, I have had, like, only one bad encounter with police, and that was really because the people who made the phone call gave a really, like, completely off description of what the situation actually was. Like, when the police got there, they thought I was, like, some random guy that had never been there. But in reality, I'd been there, like, every day for, like, 3 years. I guess after getting their information, it makes sense, but they just got real bad information. So, I mean...
Dude, that reminded me of this, I don't know if this is, like, only funny to, like, inside joke friends from, like, 8th grade or not, but there's this, like, our friend's dad, we're in, this is, you know, maybe 2000, 2001, and we're hanging out in Ballard, Washington, and there's some black guy that's, like, walking around. I don't know, I shouldn't be laughing at this, I'm not laughing at, like, that it happened. I'm laughing at the dad, but he called the cops, and he's like, "Yeah, there's this African American gentleman walking around. This is a predominantly white neighborhood." And so like, whenever me and my friends like from like that time get together, like we'll always just like, you know, we'll be hanging out and like we'll just like make sure we mention like predominantly white neighborhood.
You joke, but I mean, when I went down to Texas recently, the people who were housing me, they literally had to call all of their guests, you know, and it's not necessarily that it's racist, it's that, you know, it's Texas, and it is predominantly white. Like, I've literally, when I was down in Texas, I've had the people who were rude to me, and I was standing in this gas station and with a fully tatted up, fully blown Nazi. And he was just standing there. He wouldn't let anyone buy anything. But he wasn't really being mean to anyone. He was just, like, standing there. It was, like, it was the most awkward thing ever. So we eventually just left. But, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Crazy, man. How are we going to fix it, you guys? It's up to us. It's up to us. Four.
Okay.
Well, the only thing I could think of is we burn it down and start over.
Yeah, that's kind of what's happening.
I think we got a good start.
Or, of course, like, we get all fuck until we're all the... We all fuck until we're the same color.
That's it.
Then it'll be like that one Rick and Morty episode where with, like, the nipples. Like, we'll just find some other reason to, like...
There'll always be a reason. There'll always be something. You got to find it within your mind and your heart to change.
Yeah. Yeah, really, like, that's what, okay, yeah, back to the good, like, the good bring around, like I said, like, it's a, find it, be the change that you want to be in, like, and, like, I actually have to focus on this a lot, because I was actually thinking, like, I was up, well, we were talking about you, too, and, like, how your COVID's giving you insomnia. I've had insomnia for a while, so I'll just be up, that's where my mind, like, really races, and that's actually when I, like, write my comedy and stuff. Like, I'll just be lying in bed, like, I really want to sleep, and then I'm like, no, I got to write that down, but, well, of course I lost my train of thought right then. Insomnia. I was actually up thinking, like, cause I was thinking about all the people that were like hating on me and giving me death threats. And like, then I started thinking about how much I hate people. And I was like, I literally had a thought, like, I hope I did catch COVID and I spread it. And like, then I was like, holy shit. Like I'm a hater too, man. Like I gotta, like the same, you know what I mean? Like the same thing I'm getting all upset about. Like I may not be like actively doing it outwardly towards people, but even when it's inward inside of you, like that reflects upon people. And so like,
right.
Even if I'm like hating on the inside and, but keep my mouth shut about it, like that's, I mean, it, you know, I could argue it's better than like, go in and like throwing some temper tantrum and like breaking someone's property and doing all this stuff, but I mean it's really
right.
Not. It's still hate.
Right.
And so like I need to focus on that, but it's hard right now, man. It's when like that's the whole roasting the world because it needs to be roasted. Like the world's fucked up right now, man. Like
it
really
right.
is. I think it's been fucked up for a while. That's why, you know, you want to get. We were talking too about earlier when I was talking to Sherry. We were talking about like. Wicca and like paganism and stuff, but like
mm-hmm.
You want to talk about that shit, you know, Prometheus was forbidden to give humans fire because Zeus knew we would use it to destroy each other. So like,
exactly.
I mean, like this shit, like I guess it's just part of the human condition. And like,
mm-hmm.
So really like, even if like you change and no one, maybe I believe in cause and effect. Like, I said, like, you know, I mean, not only do I believe in cause and effect, like, it's there, it's obvious, but, like, it's in, like, Hermeticism and things that I've looked into, and, like, so I really do believe that, like, if you cause, like, whatever action, but yeah, or, like, the Ozark comment I made, you know, like, you act, they react, so, like, it's
mm-hmm.
it's sort of the choices that you make, and the changes that you try to make, because it's really, I don't know if you can really change, but I think you can work on, like, I mean, I've definitely personally, I used to be like a huge hater. I would like everywhere I go, I just was like, fuck that person, fuck this guy, fuck that. And like, I don't know, like, I'd like to say that I've gotten to a point now where I can at least be aware of it in myself and be like, no, Rob,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, or put, you know, I don't, let's not get too weird here, but or like, you know, like, put it on a higher power or whatever, you know. That was another thing in Mexico. These Southern Baptist lesbians, I actually got hit in the face because they're like, do you believe in God? And I'm like, well, I call it God. I don't care what you call it. Like, when I hitchhiked from LA to Seattle, I found what I call God, but I don't even care if you believe in it or you don't believe in it. Like, I could give a shit. It's my thing, not yours. Like, so I don't care. But they were like, do you believe in God? Like, they're telling me, I'm like, well, yeah, I actually call it that, but it doesn't even matter what it's called. And I don't care if you're lesbians, and I don't care if you believe in it or not. But somehow, like, the fact, because they're like Southern, they grew up in like a Southern Baptist. They were probably, or not probably, they were like abandoned by their parents and hated, you know what I mean? Like, so they, when they hear that word, they think like, I'm some like religious Bible thumping, like, you know, smite all the gays. And
right.
So they don't like that word, but like, and then there's atheists out there that like, and they'll attack me too. I'm like, well, okay, not God, higher power. Like, there is no higher power. It was all an accident. That's fine. Like, I'm not, I don't even want to argue with you. I'm just tell, like, my experience. I've experienced, like, we were saying before, what I would call such miracles. Not like, oh, it was a miracle that the guy was there, like, right at the right time. Like, I've experienced miracles that are, like, straight up magic that I've told people, like, Christian people, and they're like, oh, no, no, it's probably in your head, or, like, were you doing drugs or something? Like they, you know what I mean? I've had straight up crazy shit happen to me. Seeing UFOs, like, fucking nutty shit, man. And, like, it's, I used to, like, be like, please, you gotta believe me, but it's, I've seen so much of it in my own personal anecdotal experiences, like, I really don't share too often, and if I do and you don't believe me, I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, you don't have to, because it might not be for you. It might just be for me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same with your comedy, though, too. You got to look at it that way. You know, if you react upon these people who are reacting negatively upon you, you're going to come off a different way.
Yeah.
You get, right?
Well, that's what, that was what the whole show was
that.
Exactly. That was the whole show.
Exactly. We got about 4 minutes left, so I just want to be able to get in there. Anything else that you'd like to say to what has happened to you or to the people who have been treating negatively?
Say the last part again.
What would you like to say to the people who have been acting negatively towards you in your comments?
I think you're trying to say, man, what you got to say to your haters.
Yeah, what do you want
to say to you? Don't you guys, pieces of virtue signaling pieces of shit. You think you know the cartel? I met the motherfucking head of the cartel. I got your ears motherfucking chopped off. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
No, I guess what I'm going to say is I'm going to keep doing me, man, and instead of speaking on them, I like to speak to the people that were, like, standing up for me and, like, have my back. And, like, I can't wait till I get more of you. And I hope I'm in, like, a
nice
mental state of mind
there
where I can actually handle it better.
Right. There you go. You're strong, and I know you're going to make it. And we'll have you back on again soon.
All right.
And let's keep you going strong. Let's get your name out there and yeah. What do you think, Dakota?
I think dude's hella funny and shit, man, I agree. Everybody needs to change it a little bit, and to all the haters out there, everybody can fuck off. There you go. I got your back, dude. All you haters, fuck off. All
right. Yeah. Thanks, Aaron.
Okay.
Yeah.
No all
problem.
Right, cool.
Thank you guys for having me. Seriously, it was fun.
Thank you guys.
Anytime, man, anytime.
Robert,
thank you guys for coming on. You guys did awesome.
Yeah,
thanks.
Right.
Yeah, what was that?
I just said,
I said thank you guys for coming on. You guys are awesome.
No, I heard
yeah.
that part.
And that, Dakota.
We heard you, Dakota.
Dakota, they hear you.
Well, good. I'm glad somebody does.
God, you're
cool.
Such a narcissistic, probably cisgendered straight guy.
Yes, I am. See, people get me. The whole time I thought people didn't understand me, but yes.
You guys, thank you so much for coming on tonight. And Terrence, this was a pleasure having you join us.
I think he already got off the line.
I think he did.
No, I'm still. Oh, he did. Okay. All right, cool.
Oh, yeah, I think Terrence got off the line.
He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's like, fuck this shit.
But, Robert, thank you so much for coming on tonight and telling us your story. It's so much fun having you here. We appreciated it. And
thank you so much.
It was long, waiting for you to come on all this time. This is great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this is perfect timing, too. So stay in touch, and I'm happy to come on again. And we'll be in touch on Facebook and stuff.
Okay, please do. Anything else?
And don't forget, Rob Conroy Classic. You can find a bunch of Rainbow Now Mistake videos on there still that I should probably delete.
I'm going to have to go check these out, though, before you delete them.
All right.
Give us a day.
Yeah, yeah. And just remember, I'm I'm still in the, you know, I'm a great at bombing. So if you want to, like, if you don't like the video, feel free to say you suck at comedy. Just don't call me a racist. That's all I ask.
Okay.
All right. All right, guys.
All right. Have yourself a great night and Happy New Year.
You guys too.
Turn it out right.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Dakota, thank you so much for letting them come on tonight. And thank you to all of our listeners.
Yeah, that was fun and very interesting. He got it, you know, like he did have a point with some of the stuff he was saying. So I dig it.
Mm-hmm.
We for sure have to have him on sometime again. But
right.
Yeah. Everybody listening out there, thank you all for tuning in. I guess we'll try to do another show sometime this week or next week like we normally do. Because every time we try to plan a show, we always end up not doing it that day because something happens at my work or, you know, like our schedule just changed. So I'm not going to say we're going to do a show Saturday or anything because, you know, shit happens. But we'll do a show sometime in the next few days, people.
Right. We'll post it when we've done it. There we go.
Right. And, hey, before we get off, you want to tell everybody where they can get our merch at and everything? It being
the new year
and all.
I know. Can you believe it's New Year? Crazy. Time went by so fast. But this year is going to be a great year because we're starting off with a really amazing merchandise in our shop. So go to www.urban-phenomenon.tmill.com. That's T-mill, T-E-E-M-I-L-L.com. So go to www.urban-phenomenon.tmill.com. Check out all of our merch. Dakota has his own on there. I have my own on there, too. So it's just really cool. Go through, check it all out. See what you think. Let us know, even. Get us, you know, PM us on Facebook. Let us know. Hope you guys enjoy it.
There you guys
it.
Go. And, yeah, everybody try to stay safe out there, and everybody just try to stay safe during these crazy times.
Right. Stay warm, too. Cold up here in the Northeast.
Yeah, stay warm, people. All right, everybody have a good night. And Sherry, have a good night.
You too. Bye for now.